Married at First Sight. Chapter 4129. Shiloh's eldest brother said, "Add another million, 6 million in total. My brother and I will split it, 3 million each. We're not doing this for anything less. After all, we're helping you solve a problem. The profit you'll make from this will be 10, maybe dozens of times more than what you're paying us. And let's be clear, it's you who wants Catherine dead, not us. If we go through with this, we're the ones risking jail time. 3 million each is the only way we'll consider it." Shiloh's second brother chimed in, "Exactly. We may be poor, but our lives still matter. You expect us to do your dirty work, but you don't want to pay us? That's not how this works." Marco grabbed a bottle of fine wine and poured himself a glass before addressing the brothers. "We've got to drive later, so we won't drink with you. But this is from my private collection, very expensive. If you like it, take it with you and enjoy it later." He continued, "6 million it is, 3 million each. But this stays between us. If word gets out, you keep your mouths shut until the grave. You don't want to risk your life or end up in prison over this, do you?" Shiloh's eldest brother took a sip of the wine. It was indeed high quality. "Of course, we're not idiots," he assured. "Not even our mother or our wives will hear about this. Mr. Jansen, since we have a deal, let's put it in writing. That way, we don't have to chase you down if you refuse to pay after the job is done." He added, "Also, we need a $2 million deposit up front. That way, we can start moving according to your plan. And when you strategize, make sure to keep those hunts occupied. If they catch wind of this and step in to help Catherine, the whole thing could fall apart." Marco nodded in agreement. "You're right. We'll handle it. We'll make sure Liberty and the others are distracted, maybe even get them out of Jensburg for a while. If Liberty and her group weren't in Jensburg, even if Catherine disappeared, no one would ask questions right away. They'd assume she was away on business. Catherine had only been back for 2 or 3 years and hadn't built any real friendships. Sure, Hayden respected her, but she was too busy to keep tabs on Catherine. The Farrell family had cut ties with her long ago, ever since her mother passed. By the time Liberty returned, Catherine would already be fish food, and no one would be able to trace it back to them. The agreement stays off the table," Marco said firmly. "Putting anything in writing would just leave evidence for the cops. We'll keep this strictly verbal." He was willing to pay 6 million, but there was no way he'd sign a contract. A paper trail would be a direct line to prison. Right now, everything was being discussed face to face, no messages, no WhatsApp conversations. That alone made it hard for law enforcement to track. Even if the villa's security guard saw Shiloh's brothers getting into Marco's car, so what? If questioned, he could simply say that after Shiloh's death, their mother had fallen ill, and the brothers struggling financially came to ask for money to help out. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4130. Chapter 4130. Shiloh's two brothers exchanged glances. After a long moment of consideration, they finally agreed not to sign the agreement. However, they insisted that Marco give them a $2 million deposit up front in cash, not through a bank transfer. A transfer would leave a paper trail, making it easy to trace. After all, they were dirt poor. If they suddenly received $2 million out of nowhere, even an idiot would suspect something shady was going on. Marco set down his glass of juice and stood up. "All right, I'll get your deposit now. Take your time," one of them replied, continuing to eat. Marco headed upstairs to retrieve the money. Ever since their mother passed, he and his brothers had been wary of their sister freezing their bank accounts. Just in case, they had already withdrawn every last cent from the account that funded their monthly expenses. Marco rarely touched that money anyway. To him, tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands a month wasn't enough to buy a decent watch. Usually, he'd let the money pile up for a year or two before transferring it to another account or withdrawing it in cash. That cash made it easier to impress women. Flashing stacks of bills had a way of attracting beautiful girls. Few people could resist that kind of showy arrogance. This time, he remembered withdrawing several million in cash and locking it in his safe. When their mother was alive, they spent extravagantly buying cars worth millions and paying in full, purchasing houses the same way. Marco was used to burning through money like it was nothing. Spending millions felt as casual to him as spending a few hundred dollars did to the average person. But that was then. Now, he had to start rethinking his reckless spending. Their mother was gone, and no one was around to cover for them anymore. From now on, every dollar they spent would either come from their savings or be money they actually had to earn. But since Marco and his brothers frequently skipped work out of spite, Catherine and Liberty had started deducting their salaries. Some months, they were left with almost nothing. How could they not resent them? Liberty had powerful allies. Duncan was still by her side, which meant they couldn't touch her. So, they had to go after Catherine instead. Everything went downhill the moment Catherine returned. She was the curse that had ruined their lives. Until she was gone, they wouldn't sleep peacefully. Meanwhile, Shiloh's brothers watched Marco head upstairs for the cash. Rich people really are different, they thought. Who keeps that much money in their house? Or had he already withdrawn it ahead of time, knowing he'd need to pay them off? They hoped it was the former and instantly regretted asking for too little. They should have demanded 10 million. Marco and his brothers were all wealthy. If each of them chipped in a little over 3 million, 10 million wouldn't be a problem. But it was too late now. They had already settled on 6 million. If they tried to renegotiate, they might end up with nothing. Worse, they might anger Marco and his brothers, and that could cost them their lives. The eldest brother, who had witnessed Shiloh's death firsthand, knew just how ruthless they were. No one in the Farrell family had a shred of humanity. They were demons who wouldn't hesitate to kill, leaving nothing behind, not even bones. They had murdered their own sister without a second thought. If Shiloh were still alive, their lives wouldn't be this miserable. The Farrells were to blame for everything. Marco soon returned, dragging a suitcase downstairs. Everyone emerged from the dining hall, full and satisfied. Marco set the suitcase in front of Shiloh's brothers and spoke in a low voice. There's 2 million in cash inside. Check it now so you don't come back later claiming I shorted you. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4131. Chapter 4131. After downing two glasses of wine, the alcohol hit them. Their faces flushed with excitement as they hurried over. Marco released his grip on the suitcase, letting Shiloh's eldest brother pull it toward him. They set it down and flipped it open. The entire suitcase was packed with neatly bundled stacks of cash, each bundle containing 100,000. Their hands trembled with excitement. They had never seen this much money in one place before. The thought that all this cash now belonged to them made them grin from ear to ear. Grabbing a bundle each, they kissed the stacks of bills. "This is what I love most," the eldest brother said, his voice thick with greed. "The more, the better. The more, the better." "Same here," the younger brother chimed in. "Let's each take 10 bundles for now. We'll stash them in this suitcase and divide them up in private once we're home. Mom and our wives don't need to know just yet." The fewer people who knew, the safer they felt. Truth be told, both brothers were a little henpecked at home. The money they earned from odd jobs was usually handed straight to their wives, who always insisted that as men, it was their responsibility to provide for the family. They understood that their wives managed the money for the household, for their children and their future. So, they never protested, willingly turning over most of their earnings. Which meant their own spending money was usually next to nothing. Now, with this unexpected windfall, they wanted to stash it away as their secret fund. Once they got the rest of the payout, they'd tell their wives they only received 2 million each. After all, they wouldn't dare go against Marco. With a million in private cash, life would suddenly feel a lot more comfortable. Exactly, the eldest brother agreed. No one else can know. Just the five of us. He wasn't worried about Marco or his brothers spilling the secret. If anything, they had more reason to keep it quiet than he did. Marco nodded. I can't fit everything in one suitcase, so I'll grab another. That way, you can split it up. Eldest brother's clothes go in his bag, second brother's in his. Good idea, the younger brother said. I'll throw in a few old clothes I don't need, pile them on top of the cash, and make it look like nothing special. Marco smirked. When I walk you out of the villa later, I'll carry these two suitcases myself. I'll tell anyone who asks that I'm giving you old clothes I don't want anymore. Then, I'll hand you a little cash in front of everyone, so they'll believe you came here to beg for money. Shiloh's brothers nodded eagerly, impressed by Marco's foresight. A moment later, Marco returned with another suitcase, this one actually filled with unwanted clothes. Calling them old was a stretch, they had barely been worn. Marco had too many clothes to begin with. Before the divorce, Erica had picked out new outfits for him every time she went shopping. On top of that, the Farrell family's personal designer regularly tailored new suits for them. They had more clothes than they could ever wear. Some pieces had never even been touched before being discarded. Usually, they gave the extras to the bodyguards. Now, Marco was handing them over to Shiloh's brothers. They divided the money on the spot, stacking it at the bottom of the suitcases and covering it with clothes. Meanwhile, Noel returned to the dining hall and packed up everything they hadn't finished, the leftover food, the half-empty wine bottles. He bundled it all into several bags, handed them to Shiloh's eldest brother, and said, "If you're going to keep up the act, you need to sell it. Make it look like you really came here begging for scraps." Married at First Sight, Chapter 4132. Chapter 4132. Take these leftovers with you and heat them up for dinner. If you don't want them, just toss them after you leave. But don't waste the wine you two drank from it, none of us touched it. And trust me, this is top shelf stuff. In your countryside, even if you had the money, you wouldn't be able to buy the real thing. If you did, it'd probably be fake. Shiloh's eldest brother took the leftovers and the half-finished bottle of wine from Noel's hands. That wine was no joke. Even if Noel hadn't offered it, he would have asked for it himself. He had never tasted anything this smooth in his life. Marco checked the time before turning to them. "Whenever you're ready, you can go. We still have work to do at the company." Then, he motioned for his younger brothers to carry the two suitcases out. Walking side by side with Shiloh's brothers, he spoke in a measured tone. "Shiloh may not have been our biological sister, but she grew up in our family. Until she was 25, we had no idea she wasn't actually related to us. We always treated her as one of our own. Losing her, it hurts. We know you're struggling, and as her family, you've come to us for help. We won't turn you away. But things aren't like they used to be. We don't make as much money now, so we can't do as much for you as we would have before. Take these two suitcases of clothes. Keep what fits, sell the rest. A lot of them are brand names, barely worn. Even second-hand, they'll fetch a good price." In their minds, clothes were just clothes. They weren't dead, and country folk didn't have to be superstitious about second-hand things. Selling them was just another way to make money. Shiloh's brother bit back his irritation but played along. "We understand things aren't the same for you. We appreciate anything you can give. Thank you for all these clothes. We'll sell what we can." They made sure to speak loudly enough for Marco's household staff to overhear. They wanted the nanny to believe they had come for a loan. Since Marco had once been so attached to Shiloh, perhaps even beyond what was appropriate for a brother, his willingness to help her family would make sense. Meanwhile, Noel loaded the suitcases into the trunk of their car. Shiloh's two brothers climbed into Marco's vehicle, and soon, three cars rolled out of his small villa, heading toward the gated entrance of the estate. A few minutes later, they pulled up by the gate. Marco unlocked the doors, and Shiloh's brothers stepped out. Marco followed, grabbing the two suitcases from the trunk and pushing them toward them. The eldest brother clutched a large bag of leftovers. Marco reached into his wallet, pulled out all the cash he had, and handed it over. Noel and Sage did the same, emptying their wallets without hesitation. Shiloh's eldest brother, Marco said, his tone neutral, "The clothes in these suitcases are just things we don't need anymore. You're about the same build as us, so they should fit. And here, take this cash too." Married at First Sight, Chapter 4133. Chapter 4133. Noel said, "If you ever run into trouble, come to us. We'll help if we can. If we can't, well, there's nothing we can do." Shiloh's brother initially pretended to refuse the money, but after some back and forth, he finally accepted it. He and his brother thanked Noel repeatedly. "I'll call a car to take you back," Marco said, pulling out his phone to make the arrangements. Of course, they had no intention of actually leaving Jensburg. Their plan was set: they would strike that night, eliminate Catherine as quickly as possible, and avoid any unnecessary complications. "Thank you, Mr. Jensen. You've helped us a lot," one of Shiloh's brothers said. Since they had come this far, keeping up the act for a little longer didn't bother them. Soon, a black car pulled up at the villa's entrance. The driver stepped out, greeted Marco, Noel, and Sage respectfully, then stood by for instructions. "Take these two gentlemen home," Marco ordered. "They're Miss Shiloh's brothers." "Understood," the driver replied before ushering them into the car and driving off. Once they left, Marco, Noel, and Sage got into their own vehicle and discreetly followed. At the villa's entrance, a security guard gossiped with a new colleague. "Did you see those guys just now? Only one of them lives here. The others don't, but the three who arrived in that car, they're brothers." "Who are they?" the new guard asked. "They're the three young masters of the Farrell family," the older guard said. "You know about the Farrell family, right? They do things differently. Their inheritance doesn't go to sons, it's passed down to daughters. Only the direct line daughters are eligible to inherit. The ones from side branches? They don't stand a chance. If the head of the family has multiple daughters, the eldest usually takes over. She's always the strongest. The Farrell family's fortune teller even says the eldest daughter will always be the most powerful. The previous head of the family? She was ruthless. She didn't step down, she died. And she secured her position by killing her own sisters. She was raised by the eldest sister, so in a way, that sister was like a mother to her. She killed her older and younger sisters, took control, and then married a man just to have a daughter who could inherit everything. But fate had other plans. She gave birth to three sons in a row. She finally had a daughter on her fourth pregnancy, but it was a difficult birth. She was unconscious for a while afterward. During that time, the family's butler, who had planned everything in advance, secretly swapped the baby. His wife had given birth to a daughter on the same day at the same hospital. Newborns all look alike, and since the Farrell matriarch was still groggy, she only got a brief glance at her child. She had no way of recognizing her own daughter. The butler's plan worked. For 25 years, the real and fake daughters lived switched lives. Just as the butler's biological daughter was about to inherit everything, the truth came out: she wasn't a Farrell at all. The new guard listened intently. "I remember hearing about that online when it happened. So, what's the situation now?" "Things got messy. The fake daughter is dead. The Farrell matriarch is dead, too. Word is, the real daughter plans to return everything to the previous head of the family's descendants. The new head hasn't officially taken over yet. These wealthy families' power struggles never end. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4134. Chapter 4134. You're new here, so you wouldn't know, the older security guard continued. I've been working here for a while. The former eldest son of the Farrell family lives in this area, so I hear all the latest updates. Of course, it's not like the whole city knows about it. The media only spreads what they get their hands on. Meanwhile, Marco was completely unaware of the guard's gossip. He thought he had covered his tracks well. All he cared about was executing the plan that night, eliminating Catherine, avenging Shiloh and her mother, and reclaiming all of his mother's private assets. He refused to let Catherine take everything for herself. Marco blamed Catherine for Shiloh and her mother's deaths. He was convinced she had killed them. But in truth, even if Catherine had never existed, Audrey would have returned to claim justice for her mother, and the Farrell family would have still ended up in turmoil. Clarissa's descendants wouldn't have been able to seize power so easily. Mr. Jimenez was still alive. He had been Audrey's mother's right-hand man and knew more about the past than anyone else. As long as he lived, Clarissa's side of the family would never win. Marco and his men were nothing more than bullies who preyed on the weak. They wouldn't dare challenge the powerful families in Wiltspoon, so they targeted Catherine instead. Compared to those major families, she was vulnerable and easy target. And they despised her the most. They blamed Catherine for everything. While the three brothers drove back to their company, Catherine, who was taking a lunch break in her office lounge, received a message from Pedro, her informant in the shadows. The evidence was all there: videos, photos, everything she needed. She sat up, scrolling through the images and listening to the recordings. So, it was finally happening. Her eldest brother had found his allies, Shiloh's brothers. But Catherine knew those two men better than Marco ever could. They were reckless and greedy, willing to do anything for money, but they weren't smart. In the recordings, Marco had outlined two possible attack methods. Catherine made her decision. She would force him and his men into using the second one. The first method involved staging a car accident. Marco and his men would stay behind the scenes, making it harder to pin anything on them. Even with recordings and videos, Marco could claim they were just venting and had no real intent to act. That would require an investigation, making it harder to gather undeniable proof. But the second method? That involved Shiloh's brothers and Marco's men taking direct action. If they went through with that plan, Catherine could catch them in the act, ensuring an airtight case against them. Pedro called. Catherine answered immediately. She knew her office was safe, no risk of being overheard. She checked daily for hidden cameras. Unlike Marco's house, where Erica, his former wife, had secretly installed surveillance. Erica had suspected Marco of having an affair with Shiloh. To catch them, she had hidden cameras all over the place, hoping to gather evidence. But life took an unexpected turn. So much had happened that Erica never got the chance to use the recordings. In the end, she divorced Marco. Before and after the divorce, she had come to Catherine, spilling secrets that no one else knew, including the fact that Marco's home was still under surveillance. Now, it was time for Catherine to put all those pieces to use.